So this morning, we are grateful to be here. Of course, Carol and I have been involved in this fellowship for over 20 years. And you might me say, who are you? But we're on the Saturday bunch, so we're in the Saturday night bunch. So there you go. That's why you may not. But we've been involved for a long time. I've loved to see how the Lord brought here. I love weaving my way through servants worshiping. It's just awesome. There's not many places like this, I don't think. So what I'm going to do before I do is that something happened this morning that you get that last night didn't get, so it's extra. And I checked with my wife, and she said, yeah, I think you need to do that. So it's from a devotional book that I read every day, little sections of it, of course. And I've read it since 1993, every day. Though I haven't memorized, I know that's just me, but this came up today, and I went, okay, then I have to read this. So just, if you want to just close your eyes and listen, that would be really good. The cross, my child, is my symbol of Christmas. Wise men followed the star, but it was the Savior whom they saw. Wrapped in that holy night in the swaddling clothes was my perfect gift to mankind. Cradled in the arms of Mary lay the only hope of man's salvation. Shepherds were drawn to worship him in love that flowed through him as he became the channel of redeeming grace. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory that's only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Small wonder there was angelic visitation. It's a marvel, rather, that the entire firmament didn't stand ablaze at the holy light, that all of the host of the angelic beings did not crowd the stable or encompass the whole world that night. For it was written even that the angels lovingly desire the mystery of redemption and the man through the incarnation of Christ. Hallowed by his presence were the dusty streets of Bethlehem. Blessed was every man, woman, and child, though they were ignorant of his advent. Singularly flavored through those who were granted the divine revelation. And in that hour, that visitation from God to earth, Bethlehem and Calvary were already fused in the heart of God. All who beheld the star through the eyes and saw the heart saw the cross. Yes, 'twas the baby lying in the manger, but within the precious bundle of humanity beat the heart of the Creator, of the universe and all of the Savior of mankind. No power on earth nor hell could stop the eternal plan from fulfillment. Grace and mercy became his garments, and darkness was scattered by his feet. Amen? Wow, that was good. Some of you may or may not remember, which is okay, that my favorite topic I get to talk about or share or teach or whatever is helping people find how to spend quiet time with the Lord in order to build intimacy so they might hear him. And I had said in the past that I thought that the word hear was the second most important word in all of the scriptures. I mean, one can't even come to faith without hearing. How can you follow in obedience without hearing? And even Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I hear the Father say. And if you're like me, I plead almost daily to be able to hear the Holy Spirit when I wait before him in the morning. Why? Because I want to be a good and faithful servant of what I've heard. And we deeply desire to know him, right? And we want a now word from him, correct? That's part of us. That's part of this fellowship. We've been taught that. But Jesus told us this. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. And so like Moses, we don't want to leave this place. We don't do anything without your leading, Papa. Nowhere without your leading. Following Jesus, I believe, is more caught than taught. And so I want you to catch this virus, this divine infection of the Holy Spirit that burdens hearts for other hearts today. So I have two surprises for you. I've never done this before in my entire life or ministry. I am not going to preach tonight, today. Goodbye. No, I'm just kidding. hold your applause. Okay, but the second is I've invited a guest to speak. And as he speaks from time to time, we'll take a pause to try to see if there's a word from the Lord in what he just said. And that's why I'm going to say the word Selah, because that's in the Psalms, and it's between verses, and it means pause and reflect on what you just heard or sung. And then you say, while you're paused, is there a word for me in that, Lord, that I just heard? And like the Lord gave me the word rest, R-E-S-T, for the little devotional book I wrote called The Daily Upgrade, he said, we're going to rest, but for him, rest means this, relaxed, engaged, simple, trusting, R-E-S-T. So today, we're going to be relaxed, we're going to be engaged, and we're going to simply trust. For our speaker today will be Jesus. Not me. I'm going to read with zero commentary what the Lord said in the Gospels and Revelation using a couple of translations. Word of God only. Then we'll take this seal of pause and see what God is saying to us about that, and we'll move on. Those won't be long, so ask quickly. Also, the opening prayer and the closing prayer will also be Jesus speaking, because the power, I think, is always in the listening. When I was a little kid, they used to say as I go to school, Jackie, I want you to stop, look, and listen. Remember that? Well, here's what the Lord said. I want you to stop, listen, and look. So are you ready for this hearing conference? Yes? No? Okay. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us of our sins, for as we've forgiven those who've sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I am the one who is, who was always, and who is to come, the Almighty One. And anyone willing to hear should listen to what the Spirit says and understand what the Spirit says to the church. Everyone who is victorious will eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed. And by believing in Him, anyone can have whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all that trouble of sending the Son so to point an accusing finger, to tell the world how bad it was. No, He came to help, to put the world right again. And anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in Him has long since been under the death sentence. And this is real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. I glorified you on earth by completing to the last detail everything you'd assigned me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. I'm telling you straight, the Son can't independently do anything, only what He sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. And the Father loves the Son and includes Him in everything that He's doing. But you haven't seen the half of it yet. For in the same way the Father raises to the dead and creates life, so does the Son. The Son gives life to anyone He chooses. Neither He nor the Father shuts anyone out. The Father hands all authority to the Son to judge so that the Son will be honored equally with the Father. Anyone who dishonors the Son dishonors the Father as well. For it was the Father's decision to put the Son in that place of honor. Now it's urgent that you carefully listen to this. Anyone who believes, who is here today, I am saying right now that aligns himself with the Father who has put me in charge, has at this very moment real and lasting life and is no longer condemned. This person has taken a giant step from the world and into the world of the living. It's urgent that you get this right. The time has arrived, I mean right now, when dead men and women will hear the voice of the Son of God, and in hearing will come alive, just as the Father is life in himself and has conferred on the Son life in himself. And he has given him authority simply because he's the Son of Man to decide and carry out all matters of judgment. But don't act all surprised at this. The time is coming when everyone is dead and buried will hear his voice. Those who have lived the right way will walk into resurrection life. And those who have lived the wrong way, into resurrection judgment. I can't do a solitary thing on my own. I listen, and then I decide. You can trust my decision because I'm not out to get my own way, but only to carry out orders. But my purpose is not to get your vote, not to appeal to human testimony. I'm speaking to you this way so that you will be saved. Yes, John was a torch blazing bright for a while, and you were glad to dance in that light for an hour. But the witness that really confirms who I am exceeds John's witness. It is the work that I do for my Father that he gave me to complete. These very tasks, as I go about completing them, confirm that the Father, in fact, sent me. The Father who sent me confirmed me. And you missed it. You never heard his voice. In your memory, you can't know the message because you didn't know the messenger. You have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you're going to find eternal life there. But the scriptures are all about me. Here I am, standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive me for the very life you say you want. I'm not interested in crowd approval. And you know why? Because I know you and your crowds. I know the love, especially God's love, is not on your working agenda. I came to with authority from the Father. And you either dismiss me or you avoided me. But believe me, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship the Father, whether it's on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but the time is coming. Indeed, now is. For true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. And those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Selah. What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands. On your way, but be careful. It's hazardous work. I'm, in fact, sending you like lambs to the wolf pack. Travel light. Don't make small talk. And when you enter a home, greet the family. Peace. If your greeting's received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it's not, take it back, get out. Don't impose yourself. Stay at one home. Take your meals there. A worker deserves three meals a day. Don't move from house to house trying to get the best. And when you enter a town, and if you're received, eat what is set before you. Anyone who is sick, heal them. And tell them the kingdom of God is right on your doorstep. You know, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth and forsake the rich relationship with God. And don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or if your clothes in the closet are not in fashion. There's far more to your inner life than food that you put in your stomach. More to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free, unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree, in the care of God. And you count far more than they. Has anyone, by fussing before the mirror, ever grown taller even an inch? Well, if fussing can't do that, why fuss at all? Walk into the fields. Look at the wildflowers. Don't fuss with their appearance. Have you ever seen color and design just like that? If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never seen by most people, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God, the way he works, fuss over these things, but you both know God and how he works. So steep yourself in God reality, in God initiative, and in God's provisions. You'll find that all of your human concerns, they'll all be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends, and the Father wants to give you the very kingdom. And God blesses those who are poor and realize the need for him. The kingdom of God will be theirs. God blesses those who mourn. They will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble. They will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who are hungry and thirst for justice. They'll be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all kind of evil things against you simply because you're my followers. Be happy about it, for great is the reward you have in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted just the same way. But you're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses its flavor? Can you make it salty again? No, it's going to be thrown out and trampled down and worthless. But you are the light of the world, a light like a city on a hilltop that all can be seen and not hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. No, they put the lamps on a lampstand so all in the house will see the light. In the same way, your good deeds, they shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray publicly and on street corners at synagogues where everybody can see them. Now, I tell you the truth. Their reward might be all they get right there. But when you do pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on like the Gentiles. They think their prayers are answered simply because they repeat words again and again. Don't be like them. Your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. Now, here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Is that really going to get us anywhere? Here's what I say. Don't hit back at all. Someone strikes you, stand there. Someone drags you into court, sues the shirt right off your back. Take your best coat and gift wrap it and give it to them. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to live the servant life. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm changing that. Telling you right now, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. And when somebody gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm us, the rain to nourish everyone, whether they're good or bad or nice or nasty. And if you love only those who love you, what good is that? If you're only kind to your friends, how different are you than anyone else? Selah. I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold, rather going through the gate, surely must be a thief or a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. He calls them his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. They don't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know the voice. I'll tell you the truth. I am the gate for all of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Those will come in and go freely, and they'll have good pastures. The thief's purpose? Steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose? To give them rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees the wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. He's not their shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. And they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too. They're not of this sheepfold. But I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and then there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so that I might take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I give it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and take it back up again. For this is my Father's command. And I've already told you, and you don't believe me, but the proof is in the work that I do in my Father's name. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. No one can snatch them from me because the Father has given to me, and the Father is more powerful than anyone else. The Father and I are one. There will always be temptations to sin, but how terrible it will be for the person who does the tempting. It would be better to have a millstone tied around their neck than to face the punishment that's in store for them if it's harming just one of those little ones. I'm warning you, if another believer does sin, warn him. If he repents, forgive him. Even if he wrongs you 7 times a day and asks forgiveness, forgive him. Because the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You're not going to be able to say, oh, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but grows into a large garden plant, like a tree where the birds come and make their nest in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it, went out and sold everything he had so he could buy the field and get the treasure. The real significance is not that Moses gave you some bread from heaven, but that my Father right now is offering you bread from heaven. This is the real bread. The bread that came down out of heaven and is giving life to the world. So don't complain among yourselves over me. You're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me, and that's the only way they'll ever come. Only then do I do my work, putting people together, setting them on their feet, ready for the end. This is what the prophets meant when they wrote, and then they will be personally taught by God. Anyone who has spent any time at all listening to the Father, really listening, and therefore learning, comes to me and to be taught personally, to see it with his own eyes, hear it with his own ears from me, since I have it firsthand from the Father. And no one has seen the Father except the one who has his being alongside the Father. I am telling you the most solemn and sober truth right now. Whoever believes in me has real life, for I am the bread of life. And your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, and they died. But now here is bread that truly comes down out of heaven. And anyone eating of this bread will not die ever. I am the bread, the living bread, who came down out of heaven. And anyone who eats of this bread will live, and they will live forever. Selah. I am the real vine. My Father's the farmer. He cuts off every branch that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that does bear grapes, he actually prunes them back so they will bear even more. You're already pruned back simply by the message I've spoken. So live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In that way, the branch that can't bear fruits by itself only be joined to the vine, you won't be able to bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and when you're joined with me and I with you, our relationship intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates me is like dead wood in a bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes and when you can mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way the Father has loved me. So make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands, and made myself at home in his love. Now, I have chosen these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and that your joy may be wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I've loved you. That's the very best way to love. This is the very best way to love forever. To put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command. I am no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking or planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything that I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. And it's a fruit that doesn't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he will give you. But remember the root command, love one another. If you find the godless world hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of their own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms, and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. But I will send you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. And he will come to you from the Father, and he will tell you all about me. But you almost must tell others about me, because you've been with me. The most important commandment is this. So listen. The Lord your God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Yeah, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and be raised on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. And now, I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down. Every word is dependable and accurate. I am the A to Z. I am the beginning and the conclusion. From the water of life well, I give freely to the thirsty. Conquerors will inherit all of this, and I'll be God to them, and they'll be sons and daughters to me. See, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay you all according to your deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Selah. Let us pray. Father, I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I'm defined by the world. So make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is a consecrating truth. And in the same way you gave me a mission in the world, I gave them a mission in the world. And I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so there'll be a truth consecrated in their own mission. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of them and their witness about me. And the goal is for all of them to become one heart in one mind. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you sent, in fact, me here to earth. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. They'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you sent me, love them, just like you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am so they can see my glory and the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there was ever a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I've known you. These disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are, what you do, and what you continue to make known, so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them.